Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7. Remember, on these Sunday nights, we're using Dr. S. Hawkins' outline for the Joshua Code. And every Sunday night I preach, I'm taking whatever that text is. And this is, I believe, the 7th or 8th week, week 7 of 52 great verses every Christian ought to memorize. And we're using those on Sunday night. We're in Isaiah 53, 7. Last week, as we remembered, how we all like sheep have gone astray, and he's laid on him the iniquity of us all. We come tonight to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most of these are familiar, but just great texts in Scripture that we should be memorizing and have within our heart and that we are living out. Matthew 7, 7, where Jesus speaks this word unto us, and he says, "Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Ask, seek, and knock. And then he goes on to say, as you have your Bible open in verse 8, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it'll be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? None. Your son asks for bread, you're not going to give him a rock. If he asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a snake, will he? No, he won't do that. If you then, being evil," and we are, don't ever forget it, "if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" And would be implied in that text not only that they ask, but they seek and they knock. Praying for the coming generation. I've tied this text to our D-Now weekend. And if you were in 11 o'clock service today, you saw that great gaggle of young people that were down here. And then they filled this whole place this morning with their leaders and themselves and three rows sitting on the ground. I mean, they were down here. How many kids did we have in D now? Okay, there were 200 plus of those folks that were here, and they jammed in this place this morning. And we're praying for them. In a moment, I'm going to interview four of those young people and ask them a few questions unbeknownst to them, except the first one. And then I just want them to open their heart, and I want us to pray for the coming generation. And when we pray, we need to ask, seek, and knock. Now, let me give you a little instruction about your prayer life tonight. Before you pray for the coming generation, you need to learn to pray yourself, and that you need to learn to ask, to seek, and knock. Well, one writer that I read around this verse says, "You ask if you know God's will." When you know God's will, you ask. Okay, we know that it's not the will of God that any should perish, so it'd be the will of God that all would repent, right? So you ask, you pray for your lost friends, it being the will of God that they would repent, that they'd come to Christ. You don't want anybody to perish. You know it's the will of God for that to happen. So there are many other things. If you have children and they're married and you have a husband and a wife, then you know it's the will of God for them to stay together. You want that, and so you pray for that, and you ask when you know that it's the will of God. You seek if you do not know his will. You seek, you cry out and say, "Lord, what is your will?" And you seek after the mind and the will of God. Ask when you know God's will. Seek if you don't know God's will. And then you knock if we know his will, but the answer has not yet come. It speaks of a persistence in our prayer life. Listen to the word of God in Luke 11. Jesus writes or speaks, and Luke writes it about that persistence in Luke 11. Listen to the word of God. Jesus said these words in Luke 11, 5. He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend." It's a good supposition to make, isn't it? Just suppose you've got a friend. Amen. It's good to have friends. Suppose you have a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me three loaves. Now, friend, you better be my real good friend if you come to my house at midnight wanting bread. Amen? Now, 3 o'clock in the afternoon is one thing, but now you come get me up out of the dead of night because you're hungry. I say, well, couldn't that wait till in the morning? But suppose you have a friend, he comes at midnight and he asks, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine, this friend, it's not even for him. For a friend of mine's come to me on a journey and I don't have anything to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door's already been shut. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. There's an exclamation point there. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, it'll be open to him. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He'll not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? We already saw that. No, as he recorded in Matthew's gospel. Or if he asks for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion. No, you know he won't. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Ah, he said good gifts. Now Luke records it and says, how will we not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, asking, seeking, and knocking has something to do with the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life. I would go as far as to say, if you are prayerless, you are not Spirit-filled. If you're not asking and seeking and knocking, you're fleshly. But when we ask and we seek, God gives the Spirit unto us. That third person that we preached about a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning, about the person of the Holy Spirit when we ask and we seek and we knock. Now, what will the Lord say when you ask and seek and knock? One writer I've read said he'll answer you in one of four ways. He'll give a direct yes. He give a denial, no. He give a delay, not yet. Or he may answer differently. Say, you've asked for this, but my will is this. It could be a direct yes, a denied answer, no. It could be a delay, not yet. Or it could even be something different than what you've asked for. There's no one in this room that is a praying person who could not go back somewhere in your life and see where you've asked for one thing and you would now thank God that he gave you something different. Because he's sovereign and he knows. And he answers us sometimes in a different way. Thank God sometimes he says no to what we ask for. Thank God he says yes when we cry out unto him. And then sometimes he just simply delays. This parable speaks of that persistent knocking. I read a quote this week, or it was last week now, or 2 weeks ago. A gentleman said this, and I thought about it, and I believe it's true. He said, passion is way overrated. Whenever somebody asks you about a job, they want you to be a passionate person. And when you come to where you want to be passionate, he said, let me tell you, passion is way overrated. He said, persistence is where the power is. I like that. I know a lot of folks that are passionate, but they just blow up and fizzle out. But persistence is where the power is. Because you're there again and again and again, staying by the stuff. Asking, seeking, knocking. Now, if you don't keep a prayer journal, number one, you don't have to pray. But if you want to go into another realm of your prayer life, I challenge you to keep a prayer journal. So how do you do it? Well, go down to Books A Million tomorrow. Go over to the journal section, and they've got every kind you can think of. Get you a journal. It's just a book with pages that are blank. Get you a pen, and every morning, write down whatever the date is, February 24. And when you talk to the Lord, then write down what you're asking Him. You don't have to write it all out. My wife keeps a journal, and she writes volumes. I mean, and she writes some paragraph and page full, and, you know, that's her way. Me, I just make lists. Like this morning, it's Sunday. So I pray for Leo. I just write Leo. And I write my name. Then I wrote down Chris and Dee now. God help them get up. Because they were tired. Amen. And so I just make lists. Then I always, on Sunday, I always write this word, anointing. Lord, I beg and pray for anointing. Always praying that on Sunday. And there are some other things. Beverly Linka was singing this morning. I wrote Beverly down. And then Megan was singing. I wrote Megan in there. I have my worship guide. And I'm writing right down through there. And I pray through the order of service and whatever's going on, order of service. And I'm just writing. I just write lists. Now, that's the way I do it. It helps me pray. It keeps me focused. Keeps me persistent. Now, tomorrow is Monday. That's the M day, so I pray for missionaries tomorrow. I'll write down a list of missionaries. I'll pray for the president of the IMB. I'll pray for John Sullivan tomorrow, the president of the Florida Baptist Convention. I'll pray for the president, Fred Luter, of the Southern Baptist Convention. And so I list those on missionaries' days and other missionaries I know in our church plant. I just write on missions day. I just write that down. Tuesday is tasks day. Task, my personal task. Things I have going on. Tuesday night, I have to be in Birmingham, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, meeting for the University of Alabama. I'll write that down, pray for Gary Kramer and tasks that I have. I have staff meeting on Tuesday. Usually I start right there. God help me. Help me be fresh to lead and encourage Dr. Lewis, because he's going to lead that staff meeting out. And then for my part and what I do. And so the task that I have right there, and I write those tasks. That's what I do. And there are other things that you add because they jump on you, but these are things I pray for persistently every week. Wednesday is workers, the W day. I pray for every staff member. I begin with Beth Harris in my office, my administrative assistant, and then I just walk right through there. And I write Leo's name down. I write Stan's name down. I write Robert's name down. And John Dubois. And I just go right down through that. And then I take the rest of the staff, and I'm just writing their name down. I don't pray for every one of them every Wednesday, but I'll walk through there. And some of them I know having this issue, that issue. And so workers, 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 workers. Deacon chairman, we put that down with Brother Chuck. And I'm praying for him on Wednesday. The workers, those that work with me and that I work with, I'm praying for those workers. Thursday's another tea day. Tasks again. The first day I usually pray for personal tasks. Then I pray for church tasks, things that I have to do in the church. F day is Friday, which is family day. Family. Always, beginning with my wife, praying for Liz. So you don't pray for her every day? Yeah, usually I do, but this is the day I really give more time. And so I'm praying for Liz. I begin with Liz. I pray for my parents every Friday and other days as well. But I'm praying for them. And I pray for my mother-in-law, pray for my children. Pray for little Catherine that God's given us, and pray for Bennett and Amanda, Brad, Rachel. Praying right down through there for family members. Matt, who is he's my nephew, isn't that right? Yeah. And so Matt's out of a job, lost his job, brother. So I'm writing Matthew down there. And I just have one of those, and so I write that down. And I'm praying for Matt and his dad, Elliot, been through a divorce, and he's in a dating relationship. And so I'm praying, Lord, that's good. We don't like her. We scratch her name out. Ask, seek, knock. When you know the will of God, you ask. You don't know the will of God, you seek. When you know the will of God and he's not awake yet, that it's not right, you knock. Okay, so I pray for him. I don't want him to mess up. And so I pray through. Saturday is my day to pray for sinners. Lost people on my list. And so I keep that list, and I'm praying, and I list them, but I wouldn't call their name in here, but I'm praying for those lost people. And then on Sunday, the S day is the day I pray for saints, and that's when I'm, again, praying for what we're doing, coming to church, and a lot of times, I just bring myself from my study at home, and I sit here in the building, not physically, but I just bring myself, and I sit in different sections, and I pray, because you are creatures of habit. I can go right over here, and I can pray for Darlene Pinson because she sits same place every Sunday. Amen. And I know who's around her and who's what. Sometimes I go sit right over here. It's according to which service it is, 9:30, 11 o'clock. And I just try to pray for the saints of God. I can't call the name of everybody in this room, but just as God puts people on my heart. And so you ask it. I'm asking you tonight, pray, pray, pray. Ask, seek, and knock. There'll be other things you put on your prayer list, and I have other things on mine, but that's just my basic shell outline, and then I add some other things to that. Now, one thing I'm praying for is I'm praying for a move of God, for revival to come. That's almost every day in my little journal that I write down, God, send revival. And when I pray for teenagers. I pray for the coming generation. I cannot tell you how encouraged I was with the numbers of kids I saw in D Now this week and what I saw out of them. I want to tell you that I was really encouraged in the month of January when I prayed for teenagers, and then when I went to the high school group on Wednesday night and I preached to them, and on the last Wednesday night I was supposed to be there, I had a kidney stone and I couldn't go. And had I spoke that night, it would have sold if we could have recorded it. If I'd have taken that medicine and then preached, you could have put that on video and it'd have gone viral on YouTube. I'm just here to tell you. I didn't know where I was. So I had to skip a week, but then the next week I came back and I had Q&A with the high schoolers. They asked some of the greatest questions. I thought I was going to get, how many angels can stand on the head of a pin or. First question. Robert is the first question. A senior student asked me, raise his hand. I said, yes, sir, call him a name. He said, Pastor, there are some things it seems to me that your generation thinks is wrong that my generation does not see as being wrong. How can we reconcile those things? That's a life question. See, my generation of Christ follower, when it comes to the alcohol issue, it's black and white. For that generation, not that black and white. For my generation, if you lived together before you were married, I'm just telling you, you knew that, today, that generation to live together, they'll tell you, it's just like driving a car, you ought to test drive it before you buy it. That's the illustration they'll use. That's a great question, Bridge. Let us get into that life issue. Another young man raised his hand. Said, Pastor, you tell us that 60% of teenagers, when they go to college after they graduate, will drop out of church. What can I do so that I am not one of your statistics? That was a question. What a great question. I'm telling you, these kids are thinking. You see, there's something going on in this coming generation, and we need to pray, and we need to capture it, and we need to embrace it, we need to love it. And you say, well, I don't see a lot of teens. Well, our teenagers meet in other places tonight, all right? We got a big group of teenagers meeting in different venues on Sunday night, and they go, and they have that with high school, middle school, and different ones, and they're all here. But I brought four with me tonight, and I want them to come join me because they've asked me questions. Now, I'm going to ask them some questions. So they're coming right now. Brother Leo's going to help us and give us four microphones, and they're coming. I got a 12th grader, a 9th grader, and two 8th graders, all right? And you guys just come stand right up here. You can just all stand on that side right over there, okay? Just lined up right across there, okay? Good. Claire. That's Claire Browning. And then Josh Johnson. And Drew. Is it Avant? Or Avant? Avant? Okay. Just like my good friend, John Avant. Okay. So from now on, I'll call you John. I guarantee you. I just got that in my head. And then Tucker Ward, who's our senior student tonight. Okay. Tucker, we're going to let you go first, and I want all of you to share quickly your testimony, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ.
All righty. My testimony, when I was in about 4th grade, I was watching one of the Christmas programs that we used to put on here, and it was a country-themed one, and I was sitting on a couch with my mom, and I don't know, something just clicked, and I understood that Jesus Christ was my Savior, and ever since then, I've been following Christ.
Amen. That's when we had the horse. You remember the Christmas deal? We had the live horse? Oh, I remember the live horse. I'm telling you. Man, I'm glad we had that horse in it. You got saved. That horse made a mess right back here. That's how I remember that horse. It was tough, but yeah. Amen. What? I didn't know that, Tucker. What a good word. Drew, tell us how you came to Christ.
When I was 9 years old, there was a Bible study after school, and I went every Tuesday, and I'd been going for a long time, and we had a closing prayer, and they asked if anybody needed to follow Christ to just go to the back corner, and I didn't really think about it, and I just got up, and I've just been following Christ ever since.
Amen. Good. Josh, cool shoes, too, by the way.
My testimony is, when I was 7 years old, I had a phenomenal lesson in Sunday school, and then when I came in here for the service, God just told me to come down and be with Him.
All right. Good. Claire?
Well, I mean, I grew up in church. Like, I came here in my mom's belly, I guess. And I went to a Christian preschool, and I got saved in preschool, but, like, most of the time, people don't come down front when they're, like, 4 years old. So I really got saved, I guess, when I was 7. So, yeah.
Amen. Did you notice, and I've not heard their testimonies, did you notice there was a church connection in every... Do you know why it's important you have church? You got a generation coming that need to know Christ. And you do it through a musical, you do it through Sunday school, you do it with your parents. Did you notice when you started talking, the lights came on? Did you see that? That was really cool. Right? Amen. Hey, I want to ask you some other... Claire, we'll start with you, and we'll go that way this time. I want you to tell me, what's the best thing about Disciple Now, the one we just had? What was the best thing, most impactful in your life? Just the coolest thing that happened, best, positive. I want you to tell me something good about the Now that happened this weekend, besides Dr. Day getting hit with a pipe.
Mostly the worship, I guess, because it's really awesome to just, like, be with a group of teenagers and be able to just, like, give everything to God for... like 15 minutes or however long we're there, just like forget everything else and just worship God.
All right. Awesome. The worship was really good. Josh, how about you?
I would be the sessions we had during D&L. Them were the biggest impact that I found during D&L.
Can you tell me what went on in some, a little bit about what went on in those sessions thematically or in the Bible study or what did you guys study?
We studied about how we need to do more doing to further the kingdom of God and we had so many questions asked that it's amazing how much we know about.
So it was a kingdom theme, I think, for this time. Yeah, indeed. All right. Coolest thing about D Now?
I would have to say the relationships you make, because before going there, I didn't really know most of the girls. I mean, I knew their names, but I hadn't really connected with them. And we actually had a 6-hour-long session just talking. And I know more about those girls now than I would have known in probably 3 years about them. So I just thought that was really cool.
Good. Drew, follow up on it. Tell me, how important are relationships with other Christians for you personally?
Personally, I think that when you have Christian friends to back you up on things, it helps you reach out and make other disciples because you're not standing alone.
Okay, wow, good word. Tucker, best thing about D-Now?
Mine kind of goes along with that. I just love the opportunity to meet with a lot of good friends of mine that are all like-minded. And it's a good refreshment from being at school and things like that where not everybody really is kind of all for what you're going for, but at D-Now, you get the opportunity to be together with a bunch of guys who are after the same goal.
Good deal. Now, Drew, I want you to start, come this way, and then we'll let Tucker finish on this question. Tell me, you're an eighth grader, right? In the eighth grade. You may not know the answer to this question, but it's best in your mind, what kind of dreams have you got for your life? What would you want to do with your life?
I would either want to be a newscaster or do a lot of missionary work. And I wouldn't care where I did missionary work as long as I was doing it.
All right. I can see you doing the news. You got great enunciation, a beautiful smile, good teeth.
Thank you.
You need good teeth to be on television. I'm just telling you, you got to have that for this generation. You look good, that's good, and you enunciate, you look me eye to eye, and even as I stand here and try to embarrass you, you have not melted down on me yet. You're doing great, see? Amen. Go for it. We need people in the media that would stand for Christ. We really do. Yeah, indeed. Amen. Okay, come right down through there. Josh, any dreams, plans? What do you want to do? You're going to be a barber. I know what you're going to do. A great haircut.
Mine would have to be a mechanic, maybe, or a builder of some sort.
All right. Something mechanical. Good deal.
I enjoy building things.
All right. Good, good.
Well, I'm called to be a missionary, so that's what I'm going to do, I guess.
Amen. Going to follow after that. That's great. Amen. Tucker?
I've actually been thinking about this quite a lot recently, being a senior. And I've been thinking I enjoy playing music a lot and using that as a form of worship. But really, thinking about it, I really would like to be like somebody like Chris or Jonathan or even Mr. Davey, just being a light to other people, and just all that they've done to me, done for me, has just been incredible. And to be able to do that for other people.
Amen. Where are you going off to school? I got word about you the other day. Where are you going to school?
I'm not quite sure yet. Oh. I applied to Mississippi College.
Yeah, I thought that was a done deal.
Not quite yet.
Okay, still working on that. All right. Hey, I'll help you get that done, all right? All right. That's good. Now, let me just, I want to challenge you. Mr. Davey, I want you to get just a little higher than Mr. Davey. Amen. You can go higher than John, okay? No, man. Isn't that great? That he looks and he says, here's one of my leaders. It works for us in high school. And what John's poured in his life, he says, I want to put in somebody else's life. John, that ought to thrill your heart tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Now I want to ask each one of you, this may be the harder question that we're going to ask. I want you to tell me, what can this church do that would help teenagers in our Northwest Florida area? What can Olive do? What do you need out of your church? What would be the way that we could impact young people in days to come? Anybody jump in? Okay, Tucker, tell me. Anybody have any idea? How do we help you?
Well, Claire? Prayer, because I feel like we have, like, our generation has something stirring. I don't know what it is yet, but I feel like there's going to be something in our generation. So just prayers. We need, like, constant encouragement.
All right. Encouragement, prayer?
Probably being, making sure that we're taking the initiative and going out and trying to being inviting to people, because that's one thing that we've been working on a lot in our youth group this past year, especially at student life camp and things like that. We'll talk about things like that, and really being inviting to everybody is a really important issue, and we really need to work on it.
All right, yeah. Good. Opening our arms. Anything else?
I'd have to say more prayer and more doing on our end to bring kids to know more about Christ and be more like Him.
All right. Drew, give me a tight shot. Put right across here, just tight right here. Drew Avant, ABC News, right here. That's what I want to see. Go ahead, sweetheart.
I think going to the schools, like at lunch or something like that, and talking to the kids and getting to know them, I think that's a big way to influence people's lives, because not all teenagers have the courage to go and talk to other teenagers about Jesus. So I think if Christians within the church did that, I think it would be more impactful.
All right. Good word. You're really just in the eighth grade.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Anybody else want to ask a question? They're just full of information for you. Give them a good hand tonight, wouldn't you? Thank God for them. Thank y'all for helping me tonight. Just leave your microphone right there on that chair when you go. Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Amen. Great job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Claire. Amen. Just leave your mic right there. How I want to conclude tonight with five ways that you can pray for the coming generation. I want to encourage you to pray these things. Number one, I want you to pray for them to be wise. You need to pray for wisdom. Matter of fact, if you don't have teenagers in your prayer book somewhere, you ought to be praying for the coming generation. You ought to be praying for people like John and others that are working with these kids. You need to pray for them to have wisdom. They need wisdom. Andy Andrews, you guys remember Andy Andrews? Andy's my good buddy over in Alabama. Andy's a writer. He had a great tweet this afternoon. The difference, everyone should pray to know the difference between knowledge and wisdom. He said, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Amen. Don't put a tomato in my fruit salad, even though it's a fruit, okay? These kids, they need to know some things, but they need to go to another dimension. They need the wisdom of Almighty God in their life. Pray for wisdom. Number two, and we heard it from Drew right there at the end. Courage. Pray for courage, that God would lift a generation. Did you see this news media story on Tim Tebow this weekend? It has gone viral in Christian circles. First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, is opening their brand new worship center downtown. As a matter of fact, I drove by it while I was in Dallas last week. They're opening Easter Sunday, and then for 4 weeks in April, they're having special speakers. And on the last Sunday of April, Tim Tebow was scheduled to come. This past week, Tim called Robert Jeffers, the pastor, and took his name off the list and said, I'm sorry, but it's best I not come to speak. Christians attacked Tim Tebow as having no courage and caving in because Tim is right now in NFL negotiations. Negotiating a contract. And you don't have to look very far to know that the gay agenda is very high on the NFL profile. Robert Jeffers has been very vocal about the gay agenda. And people said if Tim Tebow goes to First Dallas that he is just like Robert Jeffers. And then they began to cast him in this light. And then when Tim stepped away, the liberal media hailed it as a wise thing, and Christian circles came on him. I've not posted one tweet, one Facebook. This is the only word I've said yet about Tim Tebow, and I don't have anything to say but in regard to what he did. But let me tell you, I've never watched a more courageous, young, 25-year-old evangelical believer than I've watched Tim Tebow in our world. If he was to come here and then back out not to come, I would be gravely disappointed. But let me tell you, I decide where I go preach. He decides where he needs to go. And I'm telling you, I don't believe Tim's caved in. He's a strong man, and he's had great courage, and we need to pray for a generation like him of 25 and under that they would have courage. Pray for wisdom. Pray they would have courage to do the right thing in the right way. Number three, you need to pray for leaders. Leaders. I don't mean leaders like John Davey, though you should pray for those. But you need to pray for leaders to come out of this group right here. I will never forget it, young people. And that's the reason that I have on my keychain. Tucker should have one if he was with me. You have a red key, Tucker? You got your red key in your pocket? Every senior student has a red key like this one. It has no cut on, won't open anything. Tucker's got his right there. At the beginning of this year, I took every senior on the top of this roof. We went to the roof. We had that Wednesday night. We took all of the seniors up there. I gave every one of them a red key like this. And I said, I want you to hold this key. Keep it on your key ring all year long. I want you to have it there. And I want you to ask Jesus to open the doors for you that need to be opened. Now, I'm telling you, those that took that seriously and pray for that, they keep that red key. And every time they see that red key, they think Jesus opens doors. Jesus opens doors. And so we all went there. Now, all the kids went there. But out of every group, God raises up leaders. Leaders. Most years I pick out two or three and I either have lunch with them or call them or write and say, hey, you need to step up. You need to be a leader. And I look at my senior group. This year I took them all up there. I just challenged them. Because I will never forget in my very first church in Henrietta, Texas, the daughter of our superintendent of schools was the leader. She was the leader of the whole school. I called her to my office and she sat down. I called her by name and I said, if our youth group's going to be what God wants it to be, you've got to lead. And she looked me right now, and I'll never forget it, Chris. She looked me right now and she said, Pastor, I am tired of leading and I don't plan to lead this year. I want to do what I want to do. And that was her move away from Christ, away from church. And she didn't lead, and the youth group had a very hard year. You need to pray for God to raise up leaders, leaders. Because those leaders that come out of that youth group, I'm telling you, they become almost Pied Piper-ish. And they can draw others when they have wisdom and courage when that leader rises. And when a leader rises, they don't even know they are a leader. But they lead. And you see them. They're just taking the initiative. They pray for leaders, not only to rise, but then to be developed. Number four, you need to pray for parents. If you're going to pray for the coming generation, pray for mothers and fathers. Pray for moms and dads, that they might walk with God and lead these kids in the way God would have them go. And pray for those homes where the parents are not living for God and where there's division and strife and difficulty. These kids would find unity in Christ and Christ alone, and there they'd find their power. Pray for wisdom. Pray for courage. Pray for leaders. Pray for their parents. And then you need to pray for maturation, maturity. You saw these four stand up here tonight. Now, you can ask them. They didn't appear scared to me, but I guarantee you there was a little nerve when somebody asked them to come. You mean I want to stand up there and talk? Yeah, you get to stand up and talk. Maturation is a process. You need to pray for the maturing of young believers, that God would grow them up and bring them to completion, bring them to maturity. And the best way for that to happen is for you to grow up yourself. Amen. And when they see maturity in you and that you are rising up, oh, don't be so straight. I mean, you know, just being narrow and straight and having no fun, that's not maturity. Who wants to be like that? I don't. But when there's great joy in doing the right thing, there is maturation. And it's always a process. And God is knocking some things out and he's putting other things in. That's why D-Now is a part of this process. He's putting things in, he's taking things out. And he's just raising us up, raising us up, raising us up, raising us up. I gave Megan a hard time this morning. She was singing, going to be that sweet little bride in April. I couldn't believe it because she used to just sit right out there. She is just a little girl and all of a sudden she grows up. Now she's standing up there singing. Her voice is matured. Life's matured. I trust her spirit has matured. I look back and I see Allie and some of those girls sitting back there. I've watched them grow up. See the maturation process come in their life, and now they're pouring their lives into others as they teach. I prayed for you this weekend. I saw her on Saturday morning. She came. She said, Pastor, we got the hardest group I've ever had in D-Now. Pray for me. We got to drive some things into these girls. Well, thank God for those that begin to give back. Amen. Pray, pray, pray for maturation. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, and knock. If tonight you want somebody to pray over you, you come see me after the service. Ask, seek, knock. In Jesus' name, go. God bless you. See you next time at a place called Olive. I'm glad to visit with any of you, pray for you, receive you into membership at the end of this service. Fellowship one another. See you next time as we gather right here. Amen and amen.